and you can find them. And you'll have to help me here, Pastor, if you would, of how to locate those on Facebook.
Beacon of Hope Ministries or Marcia McAllister Posts. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're hashtagged, but we'd have to just give you a long list of hashtags. So yeah, just check them out. Go ahead, Betty. I'm sorry.
And they are, I tell you what, they are an inspiration to me midweek. Maybe some of us, you don't have a Wednesday church service. It's one of those things where you can get, you know, just a little bit of the Word of God in you to get you through till Sunday, and that it will do. Hashtag love them.
Yep, and really fun. I enjoy doing them. Station ID, hang on, don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life. You know, the very first show that we did right here 11 years ago was with Nathan, who's still part of the ministry. Connie Farmer and Nathan and I got in there in that studio, and we recorded it. And Angel, we made so many mistakes, and then we tried to fix it. And then the engineer that was on that day said, you know what, if you guys would just go live and just let it flow. And that was the only time we ever recorded, was the very first show. And we realized we can't do that. We just got to be who we are, you know, just be natural, you know. And so from that point, from that very first show in April of 2007, we have now been 11 years consistently every single Sunday. And just a short word, Angel, from you, because you used to listen before you were actually one of our radio team members.
Yes, I did listen. And, you know, I found these shows to be really encouraging. They're just, it's such practical Christian living. And that to me means a lot to me. It's just how to do it every day. How, you know, we all face fears and doubts and anxieties and go through ups and downs in life. And, you know, sometimes you reach out to Christians and they kind of make you feel bad for feeling that way. Like you need to pray more. Or
right.
You don't have it. But the show really just brings out the practical human ways of getting closer to God.
And that's what we're all about. Nan, I want to give you an opportunity because you joined the team several years back, 7 or 8 years. Nan, when Nan first came to Beacon of Hope on a Wednesday night, she at the end of the service, she said, well, God just told me I have to come 7 weeks in a row and that we'll see if I like it here or not. And that was, what, 7 years ago or something?
Yeah. 7 years.
Wait a minute, let me get your mic on. That's it would help if your mic was on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's been over 7 years now.
Yeah. And you joined the team maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did.
So has it been a blessing to you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. I mean, you know, like Angel said, we just learn so much. You know, I am here a lot to hear it live, you know.
Yeah, you are.
But it's just, I mean, it's just such a... It's such an opening of the Word of God. It's made real simple so you can understand it. It's not some great theological something that you have to have a PhD in what a history to learn. It's just downright something that we all can understand. And I think that's the important part. And I think that's what sets this program apart maybe from some others that don't flow the way we flow. They choose to go the way they want to, which is fine. I mean, all
right.
Of it's fine.
Everybody's different. Yeah.
All of it's fine. But you know, this is just the way this one happens to be, and I really enjoy being on it.
And we love having you contribute. We also have Cindy Logan from my church up in Indiana. And now we have Cindy Henderson, who was from a Beaconite here, who moved to Idaho a few years ago. And Cindy Henderson is now part of the team. Betty, your daughter, Megan. Nathan from time to time. And I think that's about, am I missing anybody? It's a big team now. It really is. And Betty... Back in Indiana, you were part of my church there, Cornerstone Ministry, there in Newcastle, Indiana. We went 7 years to the day from the day we began. But in that 7 years, we also had a radio show on Anderson, Indiana, and I can't remember the call letters anymore, but also on Faith 99 in Muncie. So on Sunday mornings, we had a 9 a.m. show, 30 minutes, that I went and pre-recorded a couple days before each weekend. And then we would take that show over to the Anderson station also. So that's where radio, the love for radio, began for me. And so for years here at Beacon, I kept saying, God, I want to do a radio show, but didn't know how we could do it and actually afford it and all that. And here we are 11 years later, and this station made it possible. And I thank God for all those little beginnings, Betty, back in Indiana, for those little 30-minute shows. And now these two-hour shows. Betty, you want to comment on any of that before we get to another song?
Well, I think it's just the Word of God is the time is coming short, and now, you know, you started out in Muncie, you started out in, you know, transpired into Anderson, then you're down in Central Florida, on the Clearwater, Tampa area, and now you've hit Starcom Media, and again, it's just growth, and because God wants that, God appreciates people who are willing to go that extra mile and preach the word of God, and now it's, you know, it reaches, you know, other countries now, and how blessed we are is to be able
Amen.
To have that.
We are blessed
to have that ability to be able to do that.
Amen. And what we're doing week after week is presenting especially how God has said things, told you he's going to do it, then he does it, and then he tells you he did it. Over and over again, he says, this is going to happen. God the Father, all through the Old Testament, said, I'm going to send the Messiah. It's going to be my son. Then he does it in the person of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And then he has all these people write about how he already did it. So he tells you he's going to do it. He does it. And then he tells you, by the way, I did that already, you know. And because his promises are true, faithful and true. He is a God of promises. I love this song by Chris Tomlin. Yes and amen. One of my new favorites. And I have a lot of those. You're going to love it too.
Me out of darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but see. Faithful you are. Faithfulness, and I will rest.
Amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Praise God. That is truth. You can take that to the bank. Hallelujah. Oh, so welcome back to Living the Good Life. We're in starting our 12th year now, celebrating our 11th year today. When I was mentioning the team members, I got to do it one more time because I forgot Pastor Jim.
Oh, good.
And how can you forget my associate pastor who is so amazing, so wonderful, and has been with me 8 or 9 years now already. So Pastor Jim, Dr. Angel, and Nan, and Betty Thomas in Indiana, and Megan Thomas Kramer in Michigan, and Cindy Logan in Indiana, and Cindy Henderson in Idaho. All of you, we appreciate every one of you so very much. Appreciate this team. We're in Luke 24, and Jesus is walking along kind of incognito. You know, they did not realize that's who they were talking to, Cleopas and one of the other disciples. And they're explaining to Jesus the events of in Jerusalem. He wants to hear how it has affected them. And so I'm about in verse 20 or so of Luke 24. And so they say to him, to Jesus, the stranger walking with him, it's now the third day since this happened. And now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning, okay, this is Resurrection Day, they were at the tomb and they couldn't find his body. Early this morning, they were at the tomb, they couldn't find his body. They came back with a story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as women said, but they didn't see Jesus. Now in verse 25, Jesus begins to get very, very plain talking with them. He says to them, so thick-headed, so slow-hearted. It says in the Message Bible, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory? Then he started at the beginning. I love this. Jesus doesn't just berate them and say, yeah, forget it. You don't understand it. I'm not explaining it to you. Angel, he says, then he started at the beginning with the book of Moses, all the books of Moses, all five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and he went through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referenced and referred to him. Angel, I'd like your comment on that before I go to Betty. Why did Jesus take the time to do that? And they didn't know who they were talking to still.
No, they didn't know they were, but that it was his way of letting them know that who he was, I think, and what he, you know, he knew all of that, and who, and yet who he was.
Right.
Because, you know, it's inside of us, and we might look a little different on the outside, and things might change us, but who we are, it's on the inside of
yeah.
us. And so even though Jesus' appearance might not have looked like recognizable to them, the heart of him was recognized. Because when he was here, when did his ministry, he referenced the books of Moses
always
and
referenced
Leviticus.
Them.
And
yes.
So they were used to that kind of teaching.
Yes. And that is such an important part of teaching the word, in my opinion, and an area where I've really tried to emphasize all the years of my ministry. And that is simply to remind all of us that Jesus has already made those promises. He already said, I'm going to do this. And then he goes and does it. And then he tells you he already did it. Betty, talk to us. Isn't this cool the way Jesus approached it with them? He didn't beat them up. He just said, oh, you need to understand a few things. And he opens the word to them.
Well, and he did that because he wanted them to open their eyes. He wanted them to see and hear.
Amen.
Exactly what he had, what the prophets in the Old Testament had spoken of, what he tried to tell them over
exactly.
and over and over again.
Right.
And I think that's why in the Old Testament he called them thick-headed. It's like, what is it going to take for me to get you to believe
right.
this the Son of God died, rose, you know, went to the grave, rose 3 days later. What is it going to get for you to open your eyes and see who I am, to see who I really am? And, you know, sometimes I think that that applies to a lot of us.
It certainly does.
Is that Jesus has tried on numerous occasions to get our attention.
Yes.
He's tried to break the chains that we're holding on to.
Yes.
The things that we should let go of, and I'm talking in today's terms, is that sometimes we are thick-headed.
We are.
And sometimes
we are.
Our hearts are hardened.
Yeah.
Our belief is kind of, we've tossed it to the side. Oh, well, you know, that's not going to happen. It didn't happen in my time. But if you have faith.
Right.
And you believe.
Yes.
Again, what we've said over and over again is that God is always with us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. And it says it time and time, and as you read on in through the scripture in 24, you're going to find out just exactly how Jesus had to prove himself.
Yes, he did.
To them. And he has to do that to us today.
Oh, amen.
And it's like, but what is it going to take? And he calls me Betty Lou. Betty Lou, mm-hmm. What is it going to take for you to realize that I had all of this planned out for you?
Yes, yes.
I couldn't put all of this on you at one time because I wouldn't have been able to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done what Dr. Angel said. The anger, the hostility, the resentment that would have came, it came at the right time. And that's what Jesus was doing here. It was the right time to walk
it
down
was.
The road to Emmaus. It was the perfect timing. It was God's timing. And that's what we have to give him credit for. And have the faith to believe
that the
same way he walks with us and he talks with us.
It's his timing in our lives that really helps us understand the next step in our lives. As you were talking about that, an old song just came to me. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and cause me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Talk to this angel.
Amen. Amen.
That's a beautiful song. I think if you go back to verse 21 in this chapter, it talks about that they had hope that the one that was going to save them was going to redeem Israel. So they had it in their mind.
Political.
What Jesus was supposed to do, what he was supposed to look like, what this, you know, we do that.
We do that.
We kind of get something stuck in our head like, oh, well, if God's coming through for us and it's got to look like this and it may not look like that. And then we miss that what he's doing in our life because it didn't come the way we envisioned it to come or thought it should come.
Absolutely. And so often we are not seeing Jesus in our circumstances or the way he's working something in us or through us or to us or whatever. And because our eyes are just kind of fogged over with cataracts, you know, and you just can't see clearly through those cataracts because maybe you don't want to. Maybe you really have it in your head it's going to go this way, you know? And that's because we're stubborn people, and that's because we're strong-headed. And go ahead with that, Angel.
Well, you know, we put God in a box.
We do.
And then God's not a boxy kind of person, you know.
He's not a boxy person.
You can't box God. God is creative. I mean, you learn it from the beginning through the end of scriptures. His creativity and the way he does things is always perfect. But yet our little finite human minds want to just see this straight and narrow, you know, black and white kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think so often we are missing the blessings
that
God is doing in our life because we're so busy focusing somewhere else.
And because we think we know how the book should read.
Right. We think we know more than God.
Yeah, we do. I mean, because that's a human thing where we think that we know what is best for us. And he is sitting there grinning going, no, you don't. No, you don't. You think you do. But, I'm going to do this. Look for this curveball. Here it comes, you know. Good baseball players, and you know how much I love that game. And you're standing at the plate. You're looking for, you're not looking for just the ball to come exactly where you want it to come. You're looking for the way the pitcher has released it in his hand, right? the way all of that, the way it starts to come out of his hand, is very, very much indicative of where it's going to end up. And the speed with which he threw it is going to tell you a whole lot. Is it a fastball? Is it a curveball coming? All of those things. And your job is not to figure out why he threw you that. It's simply to try to hit the ball, right? We talk about baseball a lot on our Go Yard show, right? And I think this applies spiritually to us, because so often we've got it figured out what to expect. Here it comes. It's coming this way. And God's going, no, that's not the right person for you. Or that's not the right job for you. Or whoa, 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 don't do that. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, we, like you said, we put the Lord in a box, and we only open it when we feel it's convenient for us. And he's telling us all along. I mean, he prepared the disciples.
He did.
I mean,
yes.
From Genesis to Revelation,
he did.
It talks about Jesus. It talks about the second coming. It talks about how he is preparing us. He's preparing us today, but we're not listening. We don't have our listening ears on. We're waxed over. We've got blinders on because we want it our way. And if it's not our way, there's no way. And that's where people have kind of foundered and begin to understand that Jesus is alive.
Right.
The word tells us from Genesis to Revelation, he's alive, or he is coming. He has come, and he is coming again.
Amen.
Now, that's pretty simplistic in my book. Even me, I can understand it. And how complicated that we make it.
Yeah.
Our lives, we think, we've got, I want this job, Lord, and that's the job I want. But you know what? If you wait upon the Lord, he has me have something better, something where you will shine, somewhere you will you will be able to minister the way that he wants you to minister. And I want to use an example, if you don't mind, is my daughter, and I don't think she would mind me sharing this, is that we think that job is not the job for her, but she does, because God has her in a ministry where people will come up to her like they did last night and said, I'm so glad you were here in the store. And because this employee spouse was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
And she goes, I know that you will pray for them. And she says, well, if this employee is in the store right now, let's go pray for him. And so even though we think that this job is not the right one, God directs her and put her exactly where he wants her. Now, he may not keep her there. It may be just for a season. We don't know how long seasons are. It's just like, I was at a season at my job, and I don't know why I'm saying about jobs. But God has the right one for the person who is seeking it. If we seek first the kingdom of God.
I think that's Renee, and she's sitting right here.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. If we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these will be added.
That's exactly
and
right.
It boils down to our faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
It does.
Is that? And it's just like I when I read that scripture this morning, pardon me, I put myself in their place, those two people walking. What would I do if Jesus appeared to me?
Yeah.
Walking down my driveway. Well, I'd look at him and I'd think, oh, hi, and I don't know what I would do. And I don't know why they didn't see this to begin with. I guess it was so that he could show them through his eyes.
I think
what
so.
What he wanted them to see. I really do.
I do too. And that takes us to verse 28 of Luke 24. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. I mean, those 7 miles must have gone pretty quick. Think how long it takes to walk 7 miles. It takes a while. Okay. He acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him. They said, stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done. So he went in with them. And here is what happened. And we're going to get to what happened as soon as we hear this song, another Chris Tomlin one, and it's one that we did in our worship service this morning at Beacon, and Angel and Nan need to really learn it because it's something new that they had not really heard before. And it's entitled Home, and don't forget, this series is Forever Home. This is a good foot stomping, clapping one. Here you go. It's gonna make you happy. Listen to the words very carefully.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas.
I love that song. I'm going home. There's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And there is where we're going to go. And we're headed to heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, if it weren't for the resurrection, if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, there would be no hope of eternal life. This is what separates Jesus from all the other good philosophical and religious teachers that have been in this world up until this moment. They're all dead. He's alive. All of them. You can go back through history, every single one. I won't start naming names, but they all made their mark on civilization, but they died, and their followers continued on with some of their truths, but Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He said this in John 11, I think verse 35, I am the resurrection and the life. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, starting about verse 14, if Jesus hadn't been resurrected, well, I'm going to read that in the Message Bible real quick. 1 Corinthians 15, about verse 14. Paul says, if there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors. Everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of barefaced lies about God if there's no resurrection. If, you know, this is what it's all about. And then the next line, verse 16, if corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. That's the essence of all of this, Angel, is that if it weren't for the resurrection of Jesus, and all of this events of Luke 24 happened that same day that he came out of the tomb, a risen Lord. Do you want to comment on that? And I'll go to Betty, and then we're going to find out what happened when they sat down to eat that meal in Luke 24.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because working as a therapist, I definitely work with a lot of individuals who come from a lot of different faith backgrounds and a lot of different belief backgrounds. And when I hear, you know, they'll come in and they'll be struggling with depression or anxiety or something's really going on in their life, but you can see that they may have, you know, they call themselves Buddhist or something else, but they're lacking that hope that comes with knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when I work, the difference between working with them and someone who's a Christian who really believes in Christ is completely different. And they want to hold on to something, they need to hold on to something bigger than them, but they're holding on to something that's dead. And we need to hang on to what's alive.
Woo! Absolutely right. Betty, comment on this, will you, before we go back to Luke 24, verse 35. No, verse 28. Go ahead.
28. I have to give a big amen to that, because we do have a hope, and we do have hope in Jesus Christ. And he's told us time after time that he is alive. He is coming. He's preparing a place. I know I've said this over and over again, but we have the faith and the hope and the grace and the mercy that he extended to us at the cross. Is something that we can hold on to. It is that hope. It is that hope that we will see him again, where other religions and they don't have that to hold on to.
Right.
Is that, you know, they've worshipped an idol, or they've worshipped a statue or whatever, is that they realize that when we see and we realize what happened on the cross, is we realize who he did that for. And he did it for us.
He did it for us.
So that we could live and live eternally with him.
Absolutely. And so this is the miracle and the amazing reality of heaven. Heaven couldn't happen. We could not have eternal life if Jesus had not gone to the cross for us, taken our sins, our sicknesses in his body on the cross, and come out of that tomb 3 days later, a risen Lord who still lives forever and ever, seated at the right hand of the Father now. If he had not done all that and been obedient to the Father and gone to the cross for us, we would have just been hearing nice stories about a guy, a teacher back in 2,000 years ago who did some great things and did some miracles. If he was not the risen Lord, he is the risen Lord, and that's what makes the difference, and that's why we can have eternal life. This morning I was talking about a very simple verse of scripture that most of you know, John 3:16, and it says this, and you can probably quote it with me, for God so loved the world, that's the essence of it right there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but, now here's where it fits into our series, but they'll have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. That's your forever home. And it comes from believing in God. You say, well, what about those who don't believe in God? That's God's deal, you know? I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. The Scripture says you got to believe. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we can be saved. And it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Lord, that God did raise Jesus from the dead, if we really believe all this, then we can have that hope of eternal life. So let's see what happened in verse 28 of Luke 24 when they were ready to eat their little supper. And it says they came to the edge of the city and of the village where they were headed. And he acted as if he was going on. So they said, come on in. And they went. He went in with them. And here is what happened. Now, this is firsthand account, people. This is firsthand account, okay? A lot of people believe that Luke is that second person who wrote this story, the book of Luke. A lot of people believe this happened to Cleopas and Luke. Don't know that for a fact. But it says that he sat down with them, and taking the bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to them. I find that fascinating. We take communion every Sunday now. And when we break the bread, it's a reminder of Jesus' broken body. And it says, at that moment, open-eyed and wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road? As he opened up the scriptures for us? Let's stop right there a moment. Betty, this is so amazing to me. That's when he breaks the bread to pass it to them. You can picture a loaf of bread sitting there. Jesus takes it, breaks it, symbolically like his body was broken for us on the cross. And when that happens, their eyes were open, Betty. Oh, my. Talk to us, and then we'll go to Angel.
Well, I think that's called revelation.
It is revelation.
That they began to understand, that they remembered what Jesus had done.
Yes.
The night before.
Right.
And when he broke the bread and he told them, this is for my body.
Right.
That will be broken. And I think that it's that then that, you know, that light bulb came on.
Right.
That the blinders came off of their eyes and they were able to see it's him.
Amen.
You know, I mean, it gives me goosebumps to even think about that happening. And then he just dissipates. He just goes away.
He's gone.
And it is just like, I mean, if that would have happened today,
woo,
what would we have done? I mean, what would we have said? I mean, you have to put yourself into their place to think, what happened? He was trying so hard to show them. And finally, he knew what would get them to open their eyes is because he opened, confided in him. They asked him to sit down with them and have, you know, and break bread, have supper. And because they went that extra mile,
mm-hmm.
he did what he had to do to show them
who he
it
was.
It is I.
Yeah.
It is me.
And all of that talking on the road, and then there he is in that simple place. Talk to us, Angel. Oh, I love this. The breaking of the bread, the breaking of his body.
Well, it's really powerful, just thinking of it from a human perspective, not only the spiritual perspective, but how Jesus knew exactly what they would need to believe that and have
right.
that faith.
Amen.
I mean, this was a very intimate practice that he had with them right before he went to the cross. And he was giving that gift because he knew what their finite minds and hearts needed
right.
to increase that faith. And they felt good. They recognized when I was with him, we were feeling good and there was something there. But that was that one moment that just let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt it was him.
And I think the value of taking communion regularly has proven in the last several months for us, a Beacon of Hope. We started doing this in September every single Sunday, where we used to be a congregation would do it once in a while, special occasions. But I really have seen, God told me, I want you to do this every Sunday. And it has been such a blessing in my own life to remember the broken body of Jesus. Every single week, we need to remember it. And to take that cup that reminds us of his shed blood for us. It says in Hebrews chapter 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's the essence. When we take that cup, it reminds us that if Jesus had not allowed his blood to be spilled for us, we could not enter our heavenly home. We couldn't do it. The password is what Jesus did. The entrance, the ticket is what Jesus did on the cross. All we have to do is receive it. We don't have to suffer like that. We just have to receive what he did. Talk to us, Angel, and then we'll go to Betty on this.
Well, you know, I think that's really hard for us. You know, I think in human, we think we're superior. We think we know better. We think we have, it's our power. And God's telling us, first of all, stop. I know what you need, and when you need it, I knitted you together. You know, when you make something, you know if there's a little flaw or if something was off a little bit or something was...
Good point.
You look at, you know, an artist looks at, like, her painting, and they're like, I can tell you where this is off. Oh, that could have been over there a little... They know it. They know it so intimately.
Yes.
But someone coming to see it wouldn't be able to see those same issues with that craft. So he's telling you, first, I know you. I knitted you together. And he is just giving our finite minds a stretch. We don't know what's best for us. We can't do it.
Right.
He had to do it. And
yes.
So as humans, we struggle with not being able to be the ones to do what it takes to make it right for ourselves.
Right.
It's a hard concept.
We can't do it, though.
But we can't.
Because when we think we know the people that need to be in our lives, or we need the job, we know this is the job that I need, or we need our child to do this. If they'll just do this, it'll be okay. And God says, you know what? Let me have it. Let me have it. He's been teaching me this lesson over the last year or longer. Well, most of my life, probably, the truth be known. But in particular, in the last year, he's been teaching me, give it to me, child. You can't make it happen. It is not yours to figure out. It is mine to figure out, because I know the best plan for you. Talk to us, Betty, before we do this next song.
Well, I think the key word here is that we want to control our own lives. We think that we're the organizers of our destiny, that we think that, you know, we can do it on our own and we don't need anybody to tell us what to do or what to say or when to do it. And it affects some people's egos. Mm-hmm. It affects the way that they look at life. And I think that once we let go of our control, once we do the surrender, once we say, okay, God, and I think that on communion every Sunday is real. It's surreal that we have to surrender that time. Just that few minutes that we take in the bread and we take in the blood, it's a surrender moment. It's a time where it's just between us and God, and that we take it and we let go. We let go
right.
of all of the things
yes.
that have occupied our minds and
right.
our bodies and
right.
our soul, and we let it go. Mm. And we let God take control, for even if it's just a very few minutes, is that God is in control of our lives at that point. That's where he can, I just say, he can minister.
Yeah,
he can give us insight as to what his Son experienced on that cross. Again, it's a remembrance of what Christ did for us. He did it for Angel, he did it for Nanners, and he did it for you, Pastor, and he did it for me and all of our listeners. And I know this is an adage, but when he was on the cross, my friend, you were on his mind.
Amen.
And that is what is so important to remember, not just at Easter.
Right.
But you folks are doing it every Sunday. It's just as a constant reminder. of what God did for you.
Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. Right? Isn't that where it was supposed to be?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Think about these guys sitting, realizing they just walked 7 miles with the Son of God, with the Messiah. And he took the time to open their hearts and their minds to see what the scriptures meant. And that Jesus had to die, he had to suffer. People, in this series, one of my goals, or one of the goals that I believe the Holy Spirit's laid on my heart, is that we desire to spend more time in his presence, because we're going to spend all eternity, Angel, in his presence. We're going to be living forever right there with him. I don't know everything we're going to do, but I am going to talk about some of that in this series of some things we are going to do. And I'll tell you, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. And God wants us, each listener today, to open your heart to everything God has for you. Right? Because he's got so much for you. So much he wants to do in you and through you. Oh, the glory of his presence.
And you're here, Lord Jesus. You're here.
Oh, the glory of your presence. We
Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful song reminding us of your presence in our lives and how much we need you, mighty God. Oh, God, we need you so very much. Bow your heads with me right now. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time we've had today to share some of your word with our listeners. Lord, it gets down deep in our hearts when we realize that you are the living God, the Messiah, that Jesus Christ came to this earth to show us the Father and to show us that there was a way out of our issues and our problems, that we could indeed find salvation, that we could someday live with you forever in our forever home. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that right now from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you for every listener wherever they are around the globe. We ask that you touch their hearts this day. Let this message today get down within us and change us so that we become more like you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Talk to us, Dr. Angel.
We've had some church going on in here.
We've been having some church up in here. Yes, we have.
And you know, I think for me, what I need to take from this is that I've got to continue setting myself aside, continuing to surrender my will, my thoughts, the way I think it needs to happen, and giving that to God and trusting that he's got it worked out in his timing and his way.
You are so true. Nan, I'm going to come back to you in a minute on your thoughts if you'd like to share anything. Betty, let's go to you. Where are you with all this today? Wow. And thank you, Betty, for opening your heart to us at the beginning of the show and telling us about your real life experience here. It was really beautiful. Glad you shared it. Go ahead.
It just amounts to one man who walked the face of this earth, and he encountered everything that we encounter on a daily basis.
Sure he did.
And one of the things that we need to do today is to surrender.
Yes.
Surrender the anger. Surrender the disappointment. Surrender the things that, the anxiety, the depression, everything that you feel that life has thrown at you.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
is one person who took that upon the cross that we were talking about today. He took that upon himself when he died. And that's why when we say that when he was on the cross, you, dear listener, were on his mind. He cares about you. He loves you. He loves you more than anything else in this world. And things may seem like, you know, things are falling apart. Things are in disarray in your life. Give it to the carpenter. Give it to the master.
Yes.
who can take all of that and place it into his hands so that he can repair you for what he has for you, because he does have a plan.
Exactly.
And his plan is for all of us to be with him in heaven.
Amen.
And it's so reassuring to know that we have a God who loves us.
Amen.
And loves us unconditionally, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done. But dear listener, he loves you. And he wants you with him in heaven.
Mm, amen. Nan, do you want to throw a comment in this way here on this anniversary day?
Well, yeah. Great to be here on this anniversary day. You know, you were talking about how we're going to spend the eternity in heaven praising God. I mean, I mean that is just almost so overwhelming. Because we spend time here praising God, but we have the constraints of, you know, we have a spouse we have to help work with, take care of children, take care of parents, take care of jobs, take care of, you know, all the life things we have going on.
Right.
But then when we get there, we won't have that. All of our life things will be praising him, and that is going to be wonderful.
When we all get to heaven, I'm in a singing mood today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you
what
are.
What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Angel, I'm excited about this series. I'm really excited about where we're going with this. You want to comment here? You and Betty have just another minute, and then we got to get out of here so quick.
I'm excited along with you. You know, I've heard so many series on what we should do or how we should live, but what's heaven going to be like? What are we hoping for?
Yes.
To me is really exciting.
It is. And what are we going to be doing? And crowns. We're going to talk about crowns. Woo, crowns are kind of cool. All right, Betty, give us a final thought. And thank you, Dr. Angel. Thank you, Nan, for being on the show today. Bless you both. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, I'm looking to, because I'm a shouting woman. You're a shouting
woman. Boy, you are. I tell you.
And I came about it gracefully from a church in Newcastle, Indiana.
Yes, you did.
It's okay to shout.
Betty? I think
it's okay to praise God.
Weren't you kind of that way before you and Joe and Megan started coming to church? Weren't you kind of that way, or did you get more that way?
No, I was the one who kept, you know, was silent. I was the one, and you know, once that Holy Spirit gets a hold of you,
mm-hmm.
it changes your way that you you worship.
Okay.
And when I get to heaven, it is shouting.
It is shouting time. Praise God. Thank you, Betty.
Praise God.
Thank you, Betty, for being on this show today on our 11th anniversary as we start a new 12th year right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Nan, what a blessing you are. And Dr. Angel, it has been a great day. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. You can catch this show again. It'll probably be up tonight because Pete puts these podcasts up right away. So it'll be up tonight. You can catch it on right here, TantalkNetwork.com. Go to podcasts, go to Living the Good Life, and you can find it, and you can find other shows that you have missed. And guess what? It's not far to Jesus. No distance from the love of God. He loves you so very much. Go to his presence. Go spend time with him and watch what he does in your life. It will bless you so very much. We have enjoyed being with you for these 2 hours, as we always do every Sunday afternoon. Catch us again next Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live and on podcast here, TantalkNetwork.com. On our website, BOHMGlobal.com, you're going to find at least 400 shows. So there's a whole lot of shows to listen to if you wake up in the middle of the night and need something to hear. God bless you. Have a great week. And know that heaven is real. And we're going there. Are you? Hope so. God bless you. Have a good week.